Hello and welcome to the Solve the Overeating Puzzle podcast, where we give you a mind plan instead of a diet plan. I am Eugenia Nikiforo, the founder of Unlocks You, the Eating Psychology Clinic, and your host here at the podcast. Today's topic is all about sugar cravings. Why we crave sugar, what's causing that, and also I would like to give you really very practical tools to support you to reduce them or even to maybe fully stop them. Although cravings are kind of normal as well, and a message from our body. So if we see any cravings that we have or any experiences that we have with our body, food, or maybe you are craving certain type of foods, if we can see that as a message from our body that our body needs something, maybe it's our body or heart or soul, if we can see it as a rather a need and see how we can meet that need, things will be much, much, much easier because then we no longer see it as a problem, but rather become very, very curious and coming from a place of compassion to want to address what our body is trying to say to us as well. So, and this is what I'd like to do today in the podcast as well. I would like to introduce you to a minimum of 6 potential triggers that might be causing you to crave sugar. And I would like you to really listen to those and see which one might be applying to you. And then with each of them, I will give you practical tools that you can apply easily and support yourself with those cravings as well. So the first one that I'd like to introduce to you potentially why you might be craving sugar is blood sugar fluctuation. Blood sugar fluctuation. Well, why does it happen? Let's say when we eat something sugary, something that contains sugar, or when we eat carbohydrates, they do turn into blood sugar in our body. And that obviously raises our blood sugar. And every time the blood sugar goes up, it then also goes down. And every time when the blood sugar goes down, there will be a signal from your body that it wants more. And in particular, if we have food that has more sugar or sort of highly processed carbohydrates that turn into glucose in our body very, very fast, the more blood sugar you have in the body, the lower that will drop then as well. And that will feel quite uncomfortable to a point where it might feel like you're a little bit shaky or you might be irritated and you feel like, oh my God, I can just eat anything and everything inside right now. I can even eat a human being maybe. So that is an indicator that maybe you have blood sugar drop. Because how do you differentiate normal hunger from this, from blood sugar drop? Normal hunger comes gradually. It comes, you can feel the feeling in your stomach, you can feel your stomach is empty, but you're actually quite okay. You can go for a bit longer without any problem, without that creates any stress in your body or your mental state. With blood sugar, it's a little bit different. It feels very, very urgent, and it also feels like I need to eat right this moment. And usually you will not be craving potatoes or tomatoes or cucumbers. Naturally, you will be then craving food that has more sugar or processed carbohydrates, or baking maybe bread or biscuits, things like that. That is then an indicator. So usually when the blood sugar is dropping, you will be craving probably something sweet. So that can be definitely an indicator for you. So if you would tend to have a diet that has more carbohydrates, so let's say in the morning maybe you had some cereal, And then by the time it's 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. in the morning, you might be craving like a muffin or something sweet again. Maybe you will have something sweet, or maybe coffee with a little bit of sugar, and maybe like biscuits or donut or whatever that is for you. And then maybe by the time it's lunchtime, you're again having your lunch, maybe is a sandwich or a burger. So where you have kind of a little bit of bread, or let's say even sushi. Sushi is again more rice, and then plus they do add a little bit of syrup in there as well, which has sugar, which is sweet. That's why sushi tastes just so amazing as well. And that will then lead to another drop. So that will then be, you will be experiencing cravings in the afternoon. So when my clients tell me they have sugar cravings in the afternoon around 3 or 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, to me, the first indicator is that maybe they're experiencing blood sugar. There is more to that, and I will be going into it as we go, but that could also be potentially one of the reasons as well. So if you are someone who, when you're craving sugar in the afternoon, let's look into your diet, into your main meals and your snacks. If you tend to have more carbohydrates, then potentially that could be the indicator for that, yes, for the blood sugar. So what we want to do is we want to change what you eat and how much to eat and when you eat. And I will be going into much more detail later on. So blood sugar, like I said, how do you know you feel more frustrated and you feel kind of very agitated and feel like I just need to eat anything and everything right this moment, and all I'm craving is just sugar. I just want something sweet. So that could be potentially the case as well. It can also be the case because you're not eating enough balanced type of meals. So balanced meals are you're not having enough protein, you're not having enough fat. So maybe you have more carbohydrates, or one is missing, or you're maybe not adding fats. You might be also craving more food, more carbohydrates that way, or more sugary food. So it's really important that we look into the diet and see kind of what to eat, how much you eat as well. Also, point number two, or a trigger, potential trigger for sugar cravings, can also be not eating enough calories. So if you are not eating enough calories, that means you are maybe you're doing it on purpose. Maybe you're trying to lose weight. Maybe you are not doing it purposefully. Maybe you just tend to under eat, or you are exercising more and therefore you're just not eating enough for the output that you have, and therefore you will be craving more sugar. Basically, what you're really craving is actually more energy, and our body's way to communicate to get more energy is to have more calorie dense foods. And the fastest way to get energy for our body is sugar, and that's why it will naturally be wanting and asking for sugar as well. So it's important to look into how much you eat as well. Are you eating enough calories throughout the diet? This is where we're coming now to the next point also, which kind of all has to do with the other, is skipping meals. So if you are skipping your meals and therefore not enough eating enough calories, like I said, sometimes you might be skipping meals, but you're still eating enough calories because you're catching up with other meals, or you are not eating enough calories, even though you are actually eating frequently, but just not the amount that your body is requiring for your output. So there can also be sometimes a psychological aspect. We might be scared to eat enough food and feel like, oh my God, I'm eating already enough. But if your metabolism, if you are actually burning more calories throughout the day than what you're eating, well, that means that you're not eating enough calories. Also, like I said, for someone who is maybe trying to lose weight, is on a diet, and you will probably be trying to get into calorie deficit, so you will be experiencing more sugar cravings as well. Something to be aware of if this is something that you do. So skipping meals, coming back to point number three, or potential trigger number three, skipping meals. If you're skipping meals and the gaps between meals are too long. So something that I see regularly with clients who don't add snacks between their meals because maybe they have this idea that ideal way of eating is definitely three meals a day. So breakfast, lunch and dinner. However, if we think about it, if you have your breakfast around 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock or even earlier than that, 7 o'clock, and then your lunch is around 12, you might be actually not eating around 5 hours. Then sometimes people have, for example, lunch at 12 o'clock and they don't have dinner until 7 or sometimes even later, 7:30, 8 o'clock. So therefore, your gap between your lunch and dinner is then maybe about 7 hours. And that is way too long. That you will not be eating enough that way. And definitely, if that is the case, plus maybe you're eating too many carbohydrates, that is just a recipe for disaster for even a little type of binges in the afternoon or nighttime cravings, nighttime food cravings, nighttime binges, nighttime kind of those urges to eat more, a compulsive way of eating. The same in the afternoon, maybe when you get home and all you want is just to eat very fast. So we don't want to skip meals, and my suggestion is to have three main meals and two snacks. If you, for example, can't do that type, like let's say I'm just thinking, we had one podcast not long ago and someone had, for example, a gastric bypass and so weight loss surgery. If that is the case, obviously you won't be able to have three main meals. If that works better for you, just to have 5 or 6 smaller meals a day. So really look what works best for you and adjust it. But definitely having regular meals. So to have meals every 3 to 4 hours will be usually naturally for most people. If they eat every 3 to 4 hours, you will notice usually you will feel just so much better and your cravings will be less as well. So this is also where I would like to bring up the coffee. Coffee. Sometimes people ask me, well, I'm not really hungry in the morning. Am I supposed to eat breakfast or not? And then they also tell me that they have coffee in the morning. The first thing they get up, they have 2 cups of coffee in the morning. Coffee is an appetite suppressant. So while you might not be hungry because you are suppressing your hunger with coffee, it doesn't mean that your body doesn't need it, right? It's like numbing our body and thinking, I can't, for example, feel heat on my skin. Your skin still will get burned, right? Even though you might not be able to feel it. And it's a very similar scenario with coffee. You might be suppressing your appetite, but it doesn't mean that your body doesn't need it. And it will be trying to catch up on those meals later on. But when your body tries to catch up on those meals, it will never be balanced. It will never be asking you for carrots and celery and cucumbers. It will be asking you for high palatable and highly processed, usually calorie dense foods. Yeah, so it will be trying to get as many calories and as much energy as it is possible within a short period of time. And like I said earlier, sugar is usually the fastest and easiest way to get that quick energy because of the blood sugar, because the blood sugar will be rising and that gives us that energy then as well. So coming back to the question, do I eat breakfast or not? My suggestion is try to have breakfast within an hour of waking, or at least as soon as you start feeling hunger. Naturally, you should be ready to eat a meal about an hour after waking. If that's not the case, maybe you had way too big meal in the evening before you went to sleep, or something is not quite right, something is not working properly with your liver. So maybe there is actually too much food in your body and it just can't quite process and digest it. So I will be looking into that as well. Unless you are someone who needs to wake up 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. in the morning, so very, very early, of course, that is completely different. If that is the case, my suggestion is to eat around 7 or when you are hungry. If you are naturally hungry around 6 o'clock, 6 a.m., go for it, of course. Eat when you're hungry. But otherwise, you're welcome to wait a little bit longer so you're eating with the sun, as the sun goes up as well, and then stop when the sun goes down. Depends obviously the season and where you live as well. But that usually be sort of it would be a general idea. Yeah, so we don't want to leave the gaps too long, 3 to 4 hours, and having regular meals. So don't skip your meals. Sometimes people tell me, well, I'm trying to eat as late as possible in my day so that because as soon as I start, I'm really hungry and I tend to eat more. Then they also tell me then they tend to binge. Well, if you are skipping your meals or you're trying to avoid them because you will be hungry, that means your body actually really needs it. And your body will not be trying to get more than what it requires unless you're just coming out of a season of dieting and very restrictive way of eating. Then your body will be trying to catch up on that. So that's where we need to really come back to the balanced way of eating as well. So see if you can recognize yourself here so far. Are you eating? Are you experiencing real ravenous craving? So you feel like, oh my god, I just want to eat right now and as much as I can within a short period of time. If that is the case, maybe you're experiencing blood sugar drop. Maybe you're not eating enough calories. If you feel like maybe I am actually not really eating enough for the amount of exercise that I do, something to think about. If you're skipping meals, skipping breakfast, or skipping your snacks, for example, have a look at those as well. My suggestion is to eat every 3 to 4 hours. So 3 main meals and then snacks in between. If you have your breakfast a little bit later, maybe around 9 or 10, and you're just not hungry until lunchtime, that's absolutely okay because your gap is around 3 hours, right? So if you want to wait then until lunchtime and then have a snack in the afternoon and then have your dinner, absolutely perfect. If you want to have a snack even after dinner, that's also okay. Just prepare something that is protein-based and maybe think something like yogurt and a little bit of protein powder, a bit of cacao, unsweetened cacao powder, and it will feel really like dessert. I actually promise it to you. I personally really, really, really enjoy that. So these are 3 potential triggers for sugar cravings. The next is emotions. Yeah, this one is a big, big, big topic, and I'm fully aware of that. Emotions. Maybe you know that you're an emotional eater. Maybe you know that you eat when you feel sad or frustrated or angry or even happy. Sometimes we eat when we are happy and we want to eat even more when we are happy. So we call them emotional, bliss junkies. That's the word I'm looking for, bliss junkies. So someone who is already really, really happy and I just want to feel even better. So I'm going to go into dopamine shortly, but that's usually the case. So when there is a dopamine surge and we already feel good, so there is this want to feel even better. So let me stack things on top of each other that will then give me that feel good feeling. So that could also be the reason. But emotions, maybe when you experience emotions, whether you feel comfortable with them or not comfortable with them, and you tend to eat, maybe that is also the trigger for you to eat sugar then. Maybe it's a way to cope for you. Some people tend to avoid things that way, to escape, to numb, to distract themselves from whatever is happening in their lives. And sometimes that's something that we've learned in the past. We've learned that maybe when we were little, maybe when you were growing up, every time when you were sad, your mom gave you a biscuit or a lolly, or you learned to every Friday you guys were getting some form of takeaway. So there was an emotional bond with food for you as well. So you are connecting, for example, that food and eating with the family with love and connection and time to enjoy with other people. So there is definitely an emotional connection with food as well. Coping mechanism. Sometimes in the past, maybe you grew up in a rather difficult environment and food was your way to soothe, to comfort. Maybe you even ate secretly when nobody was watching and you knew that's a way for me to stay safe, to feel comfort, to feel like there is love. And maybe that's still something that you're still doing. A lot of the time, we are connecting food with emotions. In fact, when we are babies and our mom holds us in our hands, soothes us, feeds us until we fall asleep, we connect this food with love, with connection, with soothing. And so therefore, we keep those memories later on then as we grow up as well. So when that is the case, and if that is the case for you, please, I really beg you to be really, really gentle with yourself. Why? Because it's a coping mechanism you have developed when that was the only thing that was there for you. Sometimes food is the only thing that's there for us when everything else is a chaos around us. Food doesn't reject us. It doesn't send us away. Food is available when nobody is. Food is available anywhere at any time, and a lot of it is also quite accessible, so it's also not very expensive. So a lot depends on where you are in the world. For most of us, food is easily accessible as well. So that way we are learning to soothe, to comfort, to distract ourselves from food. So this is where we are tapping now into more the psychological components of eating. And really important to ask yourself, what does food mean to me here? Yeah, maybe you can answer that question for yourself or fill the gap. Food means to me. Food means gap to me. And you think about maybe even to write 10 sentences down like that. Food means da 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 to me. What does food mean to you? Maybe it's comfort, maybe it's soothing, maybe it's nourishment, maybe it's love, maybe it's something else, maybe it's time with family. See what it means to you, because quite often when we tap into the psychological components of eating, we're not eating for nourishment. We're not eating because we're hungry. We're eating because there is an underlying need and our body is trying to meet that need. But we are doing it in a way that is familiar to us. We're doing it in a way that we know. And therefore, we go back to coping mechanisms and behaviors that we've learned in the past. Maybe when you were a child, maybe you've learned it later on. So that's why sometimes sugar definitely can also be one of those needs to create that comfort, because we know that it does. It does create a surge of dopamine, and a surge of dopamine definitely makes you feel good, and it soothes and it comforts us, and it because of the dopamine, it makes us feel good. Of course, when in moments when you're not feeling good, that is a way to get that love, to get that feeling of positivity, or it just makes you feel good or better for that moment. So it really truly makes sense. It also can become a habit after a long while. So if this is something that you've been doing, you've been eating every time when you're stressed, overwhelmed, sad, and it has become a habit, then of course you will naturally be doing the same things more automatically. I'm just going to introduce you to a habit loop. So how do we create habits? Habits can sustain out of three components. One is there is a trigger, then there is a behavior, and then there is a reward. Reward/pleasure. So that's where we tap into dopamine. And I will be talking about dopamine shortly as well. So there is a trigger, there's a behavior, and there is a reward. So let's say there is a trigger. A trigger may be, in this case, an emotion. So there you had a really long day at work and it was very overwhelming and stressful. So you had that experience and that emotion. Every time when you experience that emotion, you know what to do. When you have a bar of chocolate, you can forget everything for that short period of time, right? And then you then feel pleasure from that. Yeah, so we had a trigger, we had a behavior, and we had a pleasure /reward. And when we do that many times, we start learning this one particular habit that will then become an automatic behavior that we do without even thinking. So without, on autopilot. Maybe sometimes you realize you're standing in the pantry and eating all the food that's there and you don't even know how you even got to the pantry. Every time you're stressed, you find yourself in the supermarket buying chocolates and some of it you don't even recognize when exactly that happened. That's because it's a habit. It's because it's now so automatic and autopilot because you've been repeating that same behavior many, many times over and over again, and therefore it's now on autopilot. And so that's how we create habits. And think about if this is something that you've been doing for 5 years, 15 years, 20 years. I have clients who've been doing this for 30 or 40 years. Imagine how ingrained this behavior is in your brain, because our brain does adapt through neuroplasticity, adapt to all of our behaviors. We are wiring the brain through thoughts and behaviors. And the more we do something, the more we repeat that same behavior, the more it becomes automatic. It's a habit. It's just something that we do automatically. So that's why, again, when you find yourself eating every time you feel emotional or stressed or overwhelmed, be kind with yourself. Be really gentle with yourself. Why? Because you are doing something that we're designed to do, which is basically repeating old patterns over and over again, because it will make it easier for us. Imagine if you had to learn the same every day, everything that you did yesterday and no longer can remember. Imagine we had to learn everything every day over and over again. Imagine, think about a job. Maybe you remember when you have started your job, that first week, how exhausting it is. Remember when you were learning to drive a car, how exhausting it was and very overwhelming when you had to think about all these things that you had to do. And now you do it automatically. Now you get to work without even sometimes remembering how you even got there, because it was so automatic. Now you drive a car and do things you shouldn't be doing, maybe checking your phone, and I'm really not encouraging you to do that. But what I'm saying is you can now also talk to other people, and you maybe can look at the GPS. There are a few things that you can now do at the same time. Why? Because driving the car is now automatic, and it just happens without you needing to do anything about it. Or consciously think about it. That's what I want to say. So be kind with yourself. Be gentle with yourself. If you find yourself eating every time when you're stressed or overwhelmed and you do it automatically, your brain is just doing what it needs to do. It will create a lot of automatic loops through neuroplasticity because the brain is getting wired that way. So how do we break that? Maybe you're asking yourself, so what can I do then if I've been doing the same thing over and over again and now I have all these bad habits that no longer serve me? Well, what do? We are creating new habits and repeat those over and over and over and over and over again until that becomes your new habit. Easy. Easy. So how do we do that? We look into the habit loop. There's a trigger, there's a behavior, and there's a reward. So really important to continue thinking about, okay, what is my reward here? What am I trying to get out of it? So what do I like getting out of it? Well, maybe you're saying, well, every time when I'm kind of sad, I get comfort. Okay, great. You want comfort. And there's the trigger, there is sadness. We can't change sadness. It will happen. We humans, we are made to feel all sorts of different feelings. So it's very, very normal, right? But what we can change is the behavior to get that same reward or pleasure. So how do we get pleasure and reward? You can ask yourself, how do I get comfort or soothing in a different way? What are the different examples? What are the different ways that I could feel pleasure or soothing? Something for you to think about and write down. Everyone is very different. If sometimes clients ask me, how do I do it? Well, I have practices like I love going for a walk. I just absolutely love going for a walk, particularly if it's a sunny day. I have a route that I go to or through, and that goes through sort of the back of the city, and there is a lot of nature, and I listen to podcasts. I just absolutely love it and look forward to almost every day if I can. Another way for me for comfort and soothing, of course, talking to my friends. Yeah, when I can call them and say, hey, I really just need to vent and I need to talk. I can sometimes then do yoga and just stretch a little bit and relax a little bit. Sometimes all I do is just turning Netflix on and say, you know what, today I'm just over, and I know tomorrow's another day and I can do something different. Meditation, going out to the nature in my garden, lying on the ground, getting grounded, going into my garden, working with soil, with plants. These are all different things that I can do. Having a hot bath, absolutely love having a hot bath with candles, with relaxing music, sometimes really nice, beautiful carbonated water with a little bit of apple cider vinegar drink. Sometimes that's all I look forward to as well. Okay, so all these things that I do for comfort and soothing, or when I had a long day, I love treating myself with experiences. So my love language is quality time. So when I also treat myself, I use that knowledge. So for me, it's about quality time with myself. So it's usually about experiences. I might book a trip. I might book, something like a facial, or going to the hairdresser or something like that. Not a massage, because I'm lucky to have a massage therapist as my partner at home, so I don't need to book that. But sometimes even asking him, Would you please be able to give me a massage and I can light a fire at home and make it really nice and comfortable? So different ways to create comfort and soothing, considering the habit loop. So there was a trigger, certain emotion, a behavior, and the reward and pleasure. So basically, I still got exactly what I wanted, comfort and pleasure, but in different ways. Trigger number five, potential trigger number five, gut bacteria. Gut bacteria. That one is a big topic, guys. And I will probably be doing a session on just gut bacteria, separate sessions. So for now, gut bacteria. Okay, what do we know about gut bacteria? We know that if we have too much of imbalanced gut bacteria, too many of the bad guys, you will be craving sugar and more sort of type of junky food. So food that has more salt, sugar, fat, usually quite highly processed, because that type of food also gives you a boost in dopamine. And we also know from research that gut bacteria actually determines what you crave and what type of food you desire. And that is fascinating. We think that we have more power and more control, where actually we probably have much less control than what we think. They did a research with mice, where they had two groups of mice, and both of them kind of were clear of bacteria. So I assume they cleaned their gut somehow, and they gave one group of mice bacteria that is more sort of a balanced, nice, good type of bacteria, and then the other one, sort of the one that is not so good. And what they noticed is that the guys who had the bad bacteria, they, for example, were eating more and they gained more weight as well. So they got a bit chunky a little bit as well. So that's what we see. Based on our gut bacteria, it will change what you prefer and what you desire in terms of food. So if you are craving sugar and sort of junky food, maybe it's your gut bacteria that creates this as well. If you are someone who might be having yeast infections or even candida, you will definitely be craving more sugar, because that bacteria will always be craving where it basically kind of came from. So particularly yeast, we know when we bake something, bake bread, when we add sugar to yeast, it grows, right? It starts growing. So basically, think about when you eat too much sugar, you're just actually feeding those guys down there, so they are growing in a way that you just don't want them to grow in your body. So that's gut bacteria as well. We also know that our gut is directly correlated with our brain. So what it means, if we have too many bacteria in our gut that is not really the healthy ones, what happens is that they will impact your dopamine in the brain, and therefore you will feel low, you will feel almost to the point of a depression, which will then make you want to eat sugar to make yourself feel better. So in fact, we do know that that depending on the gut bacteria, they will be changing your dopamine, the amount of dopamine that is circling in your body. They will be impacting and affecting you, and therefore they will change what you prefer and desire food, and it will make you actually feel really, really low and bad to a point until you eat that. So it will be controlling and almost trying to really, well, trying you to get what those guys need. So it's really, really, really important that we look into our gut bacteria, that we make sure that we're eating good food as well. Because the more sugar we want, the more sugar we eat, and that will be making us crave more sugar as well. So the more sugar you eat, the more sugar you will want, because you're feeding those bacteria that you just don't want to have in your body. So something to consider if you feel like it's actually physical, it's not psychological, it's not emotional. What is it? And I feel like my blood sugar is stable. I'm feeling I am eating enough. I'm not skipping meals, but I'm just still craving. Maybe that's what we need to look into, gut bacteria. I'm coming to the last point, the potential trigger that might be causing you to crave, and that's dopamine. Big topic, and I personally love that there's this topic. That's what spins my wheels, but I will keep it a little bit succinct here today. So, dopamine. Dopamine is a hormone that is designed not just only for us to feel good, because most people think it's a hormone that makes us feel good. Well, it's a hormone that is responsible for us to pursue something that will make us feel good. It's a hormone that is responsible for us to pursue something that makes us feel good. It is also a hormone for us to feel motivated, to feel driven, because that is what drives us to go out and do things, to get more of something. It's a hormone that was designed for us to continue hunt and gather and reproduce. So the two topics, for reproduction and also for us to continue hunt and gather, because both of these activities are responsible for survival for the humanity. So you see, we do need this hormone. So what it does, every time when you eat something sweet, we are actually wired for sugar, okay? We are wired to get pleasure through sugar, through something sweet. It is in our brain. We have actual receptors for that. Therefore, you will naturally be feeling really good when you eat something sweet. So every time you eat sweet, there is a surge of dopamine. We always have a certain amount of dopamine in our brain, yeah, because that's just how we function. We would not function if we didn't have it. We would actually get really depressed to a point of not wanting to live anymore. So we always have a certain amount of dopamine in our body, yeah, so it's that natural level of dopamine. But every time you eat something that makes you feel good, so you feel like, ooh, that feels nice, there is a surge of dopamine. So it rises. And every time your dopamine goes up, so there's a surge, unfortunately, it comes also then with that dopamine falls afterward below that line that you usually would have. And this is the interesting part of dopamine. So every time there is a surge, there is just as much a drop of dopamine below the natural line that you usually would have. So every time there is something that makes you feel good, it drops down, and that doesn't make you feel good at all. So maybe you can relate, you have a piece of chocolate and you know there's only one or two, and then you have, while you're eating, you're already feeling, I guess, that sense of, that's it, I don't have more. So always pleasure comes always with a sense of pain or discomfort. And every time when we do something, so we eat something sugary and something sweet, our brain remembers that that's what gave me pleasure last time. Remember when I was talking about the habit, there was trigger, behavior, and reward. And when we do the same thing, because we do the same thing, because our brain wants to learn what gives us pleasure, what gave us pleasure, what gave us reward last time. It wants to remember it because we're driven. We are wired to receive pleasure. And every time it remembers it, it will want you to do it again. That's how people also get addicted to drugs, to shopping, to pornography, to sex, to food, to alcohol, because the brain remembers that last time we felt really good doing that, let's do it again. Yeah, but the problem is, because we remember that's what felt good, next time, the more we do that, the less pleasure it will give us. And that's why we will need more and more and more and more to then get to feel the same pleasure. But remember what I said, every time you get that pleasure, your surge of dopamine, it will be dropping down again. So you're then in this vicious cycle of eating, wanting more, not feeling good, wanting to more and more, needing more, relying on more. So that's how people who binge, particularly binge eating, it starts often with just one-off craving and maybe like a binge episode, but then it becomes more and more and more often, the frequency increases and also the severity of the binges increases. So you start eating more of junk food and it's more frequent as well. Sometimes it's once a month and then becomes once every 2 weeks and then becomes every week. And even I have had clients who came to me with 5-6 times a day, okay? Because that's exactly what happens. There is this need for sugar hit, for that surge in the dopamine, and we need it more and more and more to still get the same feeling. At the same time, while we're eating so much sugar, it does change our gut. And remember, when you eat so much sugar, your gut will now be also asking for it. So this is now, and then we are also now experiencing blood sugar fluctuation. So there is a crash after every time there was a surge as well. Now we're in this vicious cycle of constantly needing sugar on the physiological level, on the biochemistry level, and the psychological. So it can really become really quite difficult and nasty as well. Something for you to think about: am I trying to eat because it makes me feel good? Am I looking for that high, for that relaxation in food? Yeah, so that will give you an indicator if maybe you're actually just trying to hunt for that dopamine as well. And maybe you also find yourself doing the same or similar things in other areas of your life, not just only food, maybe alcohol, maybe shopping, maybe other things that you do only for that pleasure in a rather negative way. So these are 6 potential triggers for sugar cravings. So what to do? The first 3 that I was talking about: blood sugar, not eating enough calories, skipping meals, or having coffee instead. My suggestion is to really make sure that you are eating balanced meals. So I am talking about my Rewired to Eat framework, and I will be adding a link below as well about this framework, but about this program. And it's only $17 New Zealand dollars. So it's very, very affordable. It was really important for me that I give you something that is easy for you to get access to as well. It's a framework that I teach you when to eat and how much to eat. And I'm going to be talking to you about it right now as well. So we want to integrate fat and protein to every of your meal. Fat and protein to every of your meal. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. Then when you have snacks, you want to have protein, you want to have fat, and maybe fiber. So when I talk about fiber, I talk about vegetables or fruit. I wanted to eat every 3 to 4 hours. I wanted to eat wholesome food. Wholesome food, so food that you cook at home as much as you can. Food that you can recognize as what it is. Trying to stay away from foods that are just packaged up. Yeah, trying to stay away from those, because that way you're also helping your gut bacteria, you're helping your blood sugar. So because by adding protein and fat to every of your meal, you are making sure that your blood sugar is nice and stable. Keeping carbohydrates to about a handful for a woman or 2 handfuls for a man. And like I said, eating every 3 to 4 hours. If you're someone who likes to have a snack after dinner, go for something that's protein. Yogurt and protein powder is a great option. Otherwise, an egg or hummus with some vegetables maybe peanut butter with a bit of fruit as well. That way, like I said, you are healing your gut and you're balancing your blood sugar. The psychological and the biochemistry, that's where we look into dopamine. Dopamine, what do we do here? Dopamine is a short-lived hormone. That's something that we seek outside of ourselves. Yeah, dopamine is usually outside of ourselves. It's that next big house, a big promotion, more money, food, alcohol, like I said, pornography, sex, maybe a new pair of shoes, a new bag, things like that. So it's everything that's outside of ourselves, new relationship, and it's short-lived. We get the surge, and like I remember what I said, it drops, and it drops below the natural line that you usually would have. So it's not something that we want to rely on. Instead, we want to focus on serotonin and oxytocin. These are beautiful hormones that we have when we focus on what we already have. So instead of dopamine looking for short-lived for something that's outside of ourselves, this is something that we already have. How do we increase serotonin and dopamine? Thinking, remembering what you already have. Being aware of all the beautiful things that you already have around you. Your family, your home, your work, memories. Serotonin and oxytocin are also when we spend time in nature, when we move, go for a walk, or maybe exercise a little bit as well. Giving someone a hug, a pet, a smile, doing work for others, for doing something that's really truly meaningful to you, that can also help with serotonin and oxytocin. Thinking about gratitude, so thinking about things that you're grateful for. Also, gratitude, I've just mentioned mindfulness, meditation. So all these things that help you to increase serotonin and dopamine. In terms of emotions, my suggestion is to start looking into what do you think you really, really need. When you feel sad, frustrated, angry, ask yourself, get into the habit of asking yourself, what is my real need? What do I need? What does my body, what does my heart need? What does my little self need? And how can I give that to myself in a different way other than food? So that's when I was talking about the habit loop. What do you think will help you? What you're looking for? What are the different behaviors that will help you? These are the six triggers, six factors that might be leading to sugar cravings particularly. If you are struggling with food cravings, overeating urges, and binges, please do download the free guide that I'm going to be adding below, where you can learn about the other seven factors that might be leading to food cravings, overeating, sugar cravings, and binge eating. It is a free guide and you can just download it, and that will help you to determine which specific trigger you might be experiencing and also what exactly you can do. Please don't try just random things and hoping something will work. Identify the root cause. What is really causing that? And then go right there. So you start addressing the specific keys that are leading you to certain behaviors around food. If you're not sure, if you would like to have help and support with identifying it, reach out. There is a link below to contact me. And we can book a free call where I can help you to identify that and also discuss how we can help and support you to address those so you can gain complete freedom with food and transform your eating, your body image and weight, and really, actually, your life. Thank you so much for listening, for staying with me here. I really hope that this has been helpful and you've had some aha moments. Do let me know what you've learned. Tag us on Instagram, on social media, unloxu.nz. Tag us and share with us what is it that you've learned. Message me, eugenia@unloxu.nz. I would love to hear what you're learning, how you're enjoying it. Tag us so other people can also learn about this podcast. I would love to have your support. This is still a new project that I absolutely love and enjoy sharing with you, and love that you also continue listening in. Thank you so much, and we will talk very soon again.